this morning, we're going to continue on in 1 John. 1 John 3 is where we're at. You guys ready? Look at all this stuff. I need a place to walk. Look at this. I'm going to trip over all of this. Thursday night, we were sitting in Bible study in my home, and if any of you have had the pleasure of meeting Austin Brown, he is one of the cutest little baby boys you've ever seen. You've got to hold him, right? Yeah. Austin Brown is one of the cutest little babies you've ever seen, and I sat and I just stared at Austin. Like this. Because he was staring at me. And as I stared at Austin and as he stared at me, I was trying to determine who Austin looks more like in terms of his mother or his father, Kevin or Nikki. And I saw a good mix of both, you know, within the eyes, within the mouth, within the nose, within the ears, within the hair. And that's what we do with babies, right? Don't we do that? Do we make those associations? Well, you look like your dad. You look like your mom. I tried to get covered in tattoos and piercings so I wouldn't look like either. Actually, they're very beautiful people. You should meet my mom and dad. Have you ever, do you know who Fred Willard is? Comedian? Anybody know who Huey Lewis is? My dad is a mix between Huey Lewis and Fred Willard. Real handsome dude. My mom's an angel. Happy Mother's Day, Mother. I love her to death. But we make these comparisons. We make these comparisons of, you know, this kid looks like the mother or the father. But what happens when we adopt? Help me out. They don't, well, Gamechu kind of looks like you. Meskrim, yeah, that's where Meskrim gets her hair from, yeah. But what happens when you adopt? You don't look like either, right? But then you start gaining this, what hopefully your parents are instilling in you is a set of what, morals maybe? A moral compass, a way in which we live, a way in which we go about life, a way in which we love other people, a way in which we handle certain tough life situations. Well, that's the story today. We've all been adopted. You guys know that? Can I read 1 John 3 to you? It's only 10 verses. And I felt so bad about teaching out of the Message last week, I'm using New American Standard this week. You're welcome. Man, you guys, the only complaint I heard about last week was that I used the Message. I will never, ever do that again. I apologize, Matt. I'm just kidding. Actually, it was Darby. Is Darby in the room? Nope. Happy Mother's Day, Darby. Yeah. 1 John 3:1-10 says this. It should be on the screen behind me. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We will know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself, just as he is pure. He, meaning Jesus, is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, Jesus, is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, practices sin. Because his seed, his, meaning Jesus, meaning God, abides in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this, children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor of the one who does not love the father, the brother. Let me reread that verse. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Sounds pretty wordy, sounds pretty cool, huh? So in Scripture, you see this phrase that John continues to use, little children, but I don't think he was talking to a daycare. Some churches feel like that as a pastor, as a leader, sometimes. Nothing out of that one. Good. I was sick all day yesterday, so my humor may not be as funny as it normally is. I'm going to start saying that every week. But I don't think John is talking to a daycare of little children. I think John is talking to a church of people, a whole body of believers. And that's who he's talking to. He is addressing people that know who Jesus is, people that claim to know who God is, people that claim to walk within the salvation that Jesus brought. Okay? That's who John is talking to in this letter. But he continues to address us as little children, which I find interesting. If I would talk to you like that every single time I got up and spoke, little children, would that be weird? Sure. But it begs the question, why would he address us as this? Why would he call us little children? Why would he refer to us as children of God? Other times in Scripture you see that they say that we are adopted, right? Those are some of the things that we talked about, the attributes last year when we talked about who God is and what his design is for us, right? And so he calls us children. And just like I was looking at Austin Brown, just like I was trying to discern who Austin Brown looked more like, as adopted sons and daughters, people try to do that with us. As adopted sons and daughters, when we claim Christianity, when we claim Christ, and we live something other than a reflection of what Jesus is, it's a little confusing, right? It doesn't look like my father nor my mother. And so he calls us little children. He calls us babes of the faith. He calls us little babies, little baby, sweet little baby Jesus. Nope. This is the curse. I have many, many random movie quotes that run through my mind. But here's the beauty of everything that God did. The reason this whole children thing is a big deal is because you, in fact, were adopted by Jesus, right? You, in fact, were adopted by what Jesus did on the cross, by an undying love that he worked out for you, and that we have no claim to. We can't say that we've done anything to warrant, to help facilitate, to bring about that kind of love, that kind of adoption. It's just available to us. Never forget that. You've done nothing for this. You've done nothing to deserve this. This thing called salvation. This thing called adoption. But he calls us little children, and what's interesting is people don't have babies just to have babies, do they? Having a baby is not the end goal, right? I'm blowing your minds right now. Those of you that are pregnant that just had a baby for a baby's sake, you have a baby, and the whole idea is not that that's done, it's over, right? What's the expectation when you have a child? To nurture it, to train it, to raise it, to get it beyond its potty training phase, right? To grow it up, right? To make it a functional member of society, right? To make it more than what it is just out of the womb when it comes out. Right? You guys are young. You'll catch up. I've had two kids. Not me personally, but I assisted. Oh, did I ever. But a newborn's birth is not the goal of its existence. Its growth and maturity are. And so here we have this phrase from John, little children. And then John goes to unpack all of this stuff about growth and maturity and what that looks like. And I love John because as I sit and I try to preach something new out of John, John does a lot of redundant stuff in these letters. And I think, man, we taught about that last week. Well, we just taught about that the week before. Well, we just taught about that the week before that. How do you get new, fresh material out of this? And I think there's a reason John's redundancy was there. It's because we don't get it. Do you get it? I don't. So we're going to be redundant through 1 John. Can we do that? Is that all right? Cool. Cool. So John is more concerned. This whole Christianity thing is more concerned not about the goal of our existence, not about the goal of saying, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. And I believe that, and I believe that he was born of a virgin, and that he died, and that he rose again, conquering sin and death. I believe that. End of story. Boom. That's where a lot of people stop. I became a Christian, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. Right? And I see that a lot within us here at Whitewater. Surprise! I see that a lot with a lot of other churches. I see that a lot with a lot of my friends. As if us just accepting our adoption was the it, and then growth never was expected beyond that in pages of Scripture. As if holiness, this big churchy word, was never talked about in Scripture. As if righteousness, which is a word that is actually in this passage of Scripture that we read this morning. Do you know what righteousness means in the Greek definition? That you are just in the eyes of God. That you would be just in the eyes of God. Not that you would be above everyone else. Not that you would amass more knowledge than anybody else. Not that you could have an air of spiritual gigantism. Is that a thing? It is now. I just made it up. But Scripture calls us to this righteousness. Scripture calls us to this non-sinning, us way of life. And we make mistakes all the time in that, which I understand, and John also understands. But he still calls us to stop sinning. Sinning is equated to lawlessness, is what he said, right? If you sin, you are involved in lawlessness. Let me read it again to us. See how great the Father's love has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and that is not because... Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet, meaning we are not fully who we should be until Jesus comes back, right? That's what that means. You can agree with that. We will know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he, Jesus, is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. You know that he, Jesus, appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, Jesus, is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God has appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed, Jesus' seed, abides in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. By this, little children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. What is it to practice sin? I play guitar. I practice my guitar. Not as much as I should. But I do. I practice my guitar. The other day, I was sitting down trying to learn Dire Straits tunes and ZZ Top tunes. Yeah. Great music, huh? But I practice, and I listen, and I re-listen, and I re-listen, and I re-listen, and I re-listen, and I still try to get my fingers to fall where they should. I try to get my fingers to go where they should to make this tune that's actually what should be playing, that I'm hearing, you know. I'm trying to mimic what's going on within that song. So I practice music, but what is it to practice sin? I've done a really good job of that too. You've done a really good job of that. We've done a really good job of that. Anyone who practices sin is practicing lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness, make no mistake. But this idea of bearing the image of God comes through this perfection of this righteousness. Right? Can I get an amen? Comes through this practice of being seen as just through God's eyes. Not being seen as a person with spiritual gigantism. What's another name for that? Megalomania, right? Where you're your own God. Not being seen as this person who has it all together. Not being seen as this spiritual giant, but being seen as being just in the eyes of God. And that's what we're trying to strive for. That's what we're trying to move towards. That's what we're trying to attain. And this thing called Jesus that lives inside of us, you know, the last half of this verse and these passages say, you know, he who knows God does not sin. That's kind of a hard concept to wrestle with, because I feel like I sin more than not throughout my daily life. My thoughts wander in some really dirty back alleys. My anger rages with the best of them all the time. My short fuse with my children grows shorter by the day sometimes. And so I feel like I'm losing this battle. I feel like this isn't really an attainable thing. But if you back up within this letter, you see John say, don't sin, but if you do, that's why Jesus came for you. If you do, that is why Jesus died. If you do, there is forgiveness. If you do, there is grace. If you do, there is mercy. And you need to cling to that. You need to accept that. You need to own that. And you need to quit sinning. You need to quit doing other than what it is that God has called you to do, other than what it is that God speaks of in this beautiful book called the Bible. And as we do that, this childlike faith, this childlike nature that we have, this adoption that we've been given, we start looking like the Father, right? Not in physical appearance, although my hair, when it was longer, I said it was very Jesus-like. That was a joke. Whatever. I am just not. Strike three. I'm out. But we don't start taking on a physical appearance of Jesus. We start taking on this different life. We start taking on these morals. We start taking on these ideals. As we strive for righteousness, as we strive to be just in God's eyes. And people start noticing it, but it's also interesting when you back up in this section of Scripture that it says they won't notice it as well because they don't know who God is. This is kind of confusing, isn't it? Some of these verses I don't always understand. But as we strive to be sinless, as we strive to be, and what does that mean? That means we own what Jesus did for us. There's no other way to strive to be sinless other than that. There's no other way to be sinless than to love God more, right? Because we really have no claim in doing any of this other than just saying, Jesus, I believe what you did, and I'm going to live like you asked me to live. So I can be just in your eyes. So as we claim this adoption, as we claim this thing called Christianity, as we claim this beautiful gift that Jesus has given us, as we say, yes, God, I believe you. I believe your word. I believe the words written about Jesus and the lifestyle that we see Jesus display. And I'm going to live like that. That changes the whole game for you and I as we accept the adoption. So what do we do from here? What's the 5% as we talk about sometimes? I think the 5% is we all have choices to make today. I think the 5% is we all have choices to make tonight. I think the 5% is we all have choices to make tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. We have choices to choose righteousness or choose lawlessness. We have choices to accept the adoption that we have been given and live like it. We have choices to say no to sin, even though it doesn't feel like it sometimes. We have choices to be just in the eyes of God. So what do you choose today? What do you choose tomorrow? So God, we love you. And we know that our choices bring life. We know that our choices bring death. We know that our choices as those who claim you and those who love you don't always reflect that. God, don't always reflect our Father. Don't always reflect Jesus who walked this earth and who displayed these things and have taught us how to live. God, we know that. And we know that was the exact reason for Jesus. We know that that was the reason he came. God, and just as John said in verse 3, everyone who has this hope fixed on him, Jesus, purifies himself just as Jesus is pure. And so, God, my prayer for us this morning, my prayer for those of us that are sitting in this room that don't know Jesus and those of us that do know Jesus, is that our hope would be fixed on you. God, that our choices be dictated out of that hope, out of that striving to live a righteous life, a life that is just in God's eyes. To live a life that reflects what was always intended from the beginning of creation. To live a life that honors and serves. God, as he deserves. And so, for God, forgive us when we do not look like that. God, forgive us when we look very unjust in your eyes. God, forgive us when we tap out and we choose sin and lawlessness over grace and life and freedom. God, this idea of being a child and being adopted is huge. As I think of my own children, it's hard in times of discipline, in times of trying to steer in the right direction, because it's met with resistance. And I know that I and that we do that to you every single day. I know that it's met with a not understood heart and a not understood mind as you tell us things that don't line up with what we want to do and how we want to live. God, but just as my own sons have to trust me as their father, knowing that I have their best interests at heart, we have to do the same with you. As you lead us, as you guide us, as you teach us, as you train us, as you raise us up as your kids. God, we have to take our lives and we have to look at it through your eyes and not our own. And God, that's confusing sometimes. God, that is very hurtful to us sometimes, as the things that we want don't line up with you and your word. So God, help us to take correction. Help us to take instruction. Help us to take what you say and what you give us through your word and through your Holy Spirit. And God, grow our obedience in those things. God, grow our obedience in this life that you've given us, that you've adopted us into. We love you, and it's in your name that we pray all of these things, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.